Everybody able to hear, et cetera? Yeah? Okay, great. So let's begin. Again, we have to finish in just a little over an hour today. So again, we'll try to continue next week. We'll, on Tuesday. Is the time 11 o'clock so far satisfactory? Is that work for people? For everybody? Oh, is it a problem for people in Denver and LA, et cetera? A little bit? Aaron?
It's okay. It's great.
Seriously?
Yeah.
It's okay. So if not, just let me know. Because what is it? It's for you, I guess it's 9 in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay. And do we lose anybody from LA, either Zev or Micha? Do they, if they have a capeta, just let me know and we can see if we can switch things around a little bit. All right. So we'll assess. I see there's some new names also. I'll try to learn them a little bit, but yeah, I guess not at the moment because we're in a bit of a hurry for today. Okay. So in the middle of talking about Ach Tshuva, we'll probably need a little bit of time next week to finish these Mar Makomos. Although again, I'm not going to be mapped to do all of them. And we'll also start a new topic on hopefully on Tuesday. So let's assume for now that we're Tuesday and Thursday. Again, this week not because we have a sheer wedding tomorrow. Typically we'll try to do Tuesday and Thursday unless otherwise we notice. Okay. So we're in the middle of talking about the relationship between Tikkun and Kilkel on the one hand and Isser Hana on the other. And that, of course, is both a discussion about their relationship as well as a discussion about each one individually. And the question is, right, how do we define these and how do we define them, again, vis-a-vis each other? There are several questions that we've been analyzing. Obviously, you can have a circumstance, which is an undiluted tikkun or an undiluted kilkel, you know, and then typically, you know, you're going to have overlap between these categories and you're not going to have much to talk about or to analyze. Even in situations where you have an overwhelming, you know, one or the other, where one in light of the other pretty much, you know, becomes insignificant. Not 100% sure, but in most of those cases, you're not going to have the circumstances. When things are a little more complicated, so then these questions come to the fore. And these questions are, let's say, we'll take it from a tikkun and kilkel point of view first. You know, do you need tikkun or is the kalkel a posel? Again, some of these questions are overlapping. What happens if you have, in other words, the absence of one, but also not the presence of the other, or if you have both at the same time, you have kilkel and tikkun. That's one set of questions. The next question is, you know, not which category is koveya, and therefore, you know, these two scenarios, but do you need kilkel gomor, right, to be poter, or tikkun gomor in order to be chayiv? That's a second question. That's how much or how undiluted, et cetera. And then the third question is, forget about gomor, low gomor, or having both at the same time or having, you know, neither one or the other, et cetera. What about where there are different ways of assessing, you know, different ways of looking at it? And it's not just a question of how much or the dual presence or the, you know, dual absence, et cetera, but things like, you know, objectively and subjectively, like for the world, you know, this is, tikkun, but for me, you know, even understand, not because I'm quirky only or idiosyncratic, but, you know, understandably for me, given my circumstances, we could call it an objective subjectivity, if you want to call it that, or a subjective objectivity, if that makes you feel better. But things of that sort, as opposed to simply saying, like, you know, I'm off the charts, you know, and, you know, but the daito itzel kol adam, that kind of a thing. So, you know, that's another group of questions. In other words, looking at it from different points of view. And that is not limited to objective, subjective, and, you know, and the everything in between or combination, but also things like mitzad hatsura v'hapu'ula, as opposed to, you know, mitzad ha-totza'a, especially if we're talking about the pragmatic totza'a, or from a formal point of view, let's say, as opposed to from a pragmatic, you know, point of view. So these are all important questions. Again, the last point being, for example, you know, cases like, and again, you could be mechalek, you know, the Van Gogh, you know, you're writing, you know, with very legibly, let's say, in a wonderful, inspiring message on the Van Gogh, you know, or the other way, you know, you're a restorer or whatever it is, and you, are erasing, you know, the pagamim on the Van Gogh, you know, so from a tsura of the malacha, ksiva, mechika, you know, et cetera, these have a certain objective, you know, status in terms of tikkun and kilkul and so on and so forth. But obviously the specific context and the economic consequence, the pragmatic consequence, you know, goes in exactly the opposite direction. And that's something that Rav used to speak about a lot. It's obvious that that's an issue. Or what about even Nisurim? And here it might depend on the degree to which you're an Isha Halacha. We're all hopefully Isha Halacha, but I guess the extent to which, again, as we've seen in other cases, you know, I guess the Isha Halacha mentality informs this particular question. So example, let's say you do the Tzura of the Malacha exactly as it's done. I'll use the language of the Minchas Chinuch, which we'll get to, but San Mar Mekomos and Reish Tzadiches. You do a Malacha bit, you know, Bimin Hago, Kimin Hago Shal Olam, you know, which is Metakein. So let's say you cook food or you plant seeds. Typically, those are constructive malachos. Those are tikkun. But let's say you do it in a way in which the, you know, which is, in which the result, again, the only reason you would ever plant and the only reason that you would ever cook, you know, is because you're interested in the product, you know, and that you benefited the kind. The reason that this objective tzura samalacha is considered to be a tikkun and not a kilkul is not disconnected from the fact that it generally, you know, is associated with with producing a result which is constructive, right? The food tastes better, you know, the thing, you know, which was a little plant or seed, you know, is now a peach tree, or whatever it is that, you know, that's your fancy. But what happens, like, when it's not, right? Like, what happens when, and again, this could be different scenarios. Let's say, you know, the case of the Minchas Chinuch, let's say, you know, you're Mevashel Basar B'Chalav on Shabbos, or you're Noteya, you know, Kelayim B'Shabbos. So the Tzura is the same, the planting and the cooking, you know, they look the same, they are the same, but, you know, halachically, you know, it's also bahana, so it doesn't help you. Or you take like the Rembrandt, you know, but that's just kind of pretty much the same thing, or the Van Gogh, you know, you plant, you know, something in the middle of this, you know, your, you know, this lot is intended, you know, for some building, let's say, and you plant, you know, produce, let's say, protected produce, let's say. So you delay, by doing that, you delay the ability to use the land, or it's protected produce, so it's like a national landmark produce. You know, you're not allowed to cut down the, you know, purple avocados, you know, because it's the only place in the entire universe, you know, where they grow. And therefore, it's offensive to, you know, to the stewardship, I guess, of the ecology. So, again, the tzura, now that isn't a halachic issue. That's more like the Van Gogh case, where, you know, narrowly, you're doing a malacha, which typically would be a tikkun, you know, but it's very destructive here because, you know, economically, you know, this lot, you know, can fetch, you know, multiple times, you know, the amount. So, you know, Isura de Revia, you know, within, where being an Isha Halacha is kind of a no-brainer, But when it comes to things like Tikkun and Kilkul, this becomes an important question. So all these types of questions, the mutual exclusivity of the categories, you know, whether you need a little of either one or the other, the objective-subjective question, the question of the totsa'a, and the a lot of these overlap, obviously, and there are also differences. But these are all questions that just objectively present themselves when we talk about Kilkul and Tikkun, no matter what the context. Does Kilkul and Tikkun have to be identical in all areas of halacha? The answer is certainly not. Again, default, you start off with certain assumption, you know, based. But again, things like the factor of Malachas Machsheva Sasra Torah, you know, the Shabbos, assuming that that doesn't apply, maybe in other areas where Kilkul and Tikkun apply, become an issue. And again, how then it becomes a question, how does that work? That factor, is it only a kula? Is it also a chumra? Even if it is, you know, whether it's a kula and a chumra, you know, simply how does it work? Is it a tnai in chiyuv and patur, and an onshin, or is it, you know, go to the core of the maisa avera and the mechayev and the shame malacha? Shame malacha is generally specific shame malacha. Is there a difference, you know, in those kind of areas as well? So all these are questions that come up just very naturally, organically, and, you know, they become very critical in trying to understand the halacha. And then, of course, when there's conflicting evidence, they are particularly helpful in trying to, these are the nafkaminas, if you want to look at it that way, in sorting it all out. So, and Isuri Anah likewise, this is what we're talking about as well, meaning when it comes to Isuri Anah, clearly we're less interested in the whole, let me say this, the whole factor of the pu'ula, of the tzura, is totally irrelevant. It could be that, you know, it's the factor in Kilkul and Tikkun, like we said yesterday, derech hashchasa, you know, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to the Isuri Hanah, all things being equal, the tzura, the maisa, the pu'ula, you know, is mostly irrelevant. But that doesn't mean that within the world of Isuri Hanah that there aren't, you know, complications and that there aren't nuances. So again, if something produces, if something is, unambiguously, you know, a revach or unambiguously, you know, a hefsid, then typically you're not going to have any issues. But the question of, you know, what it is to you, subjectively, objectively, again, especially if it's not, batel daitzlitz kaladim kind of a thing, or the question of whether or not there isn't some benefit alongside, you know, some benefit, some revach alongside some hefsed, you know, or a situation where, you know, it's not equal, but, you know, there's, you're focused, you know, as an individual on the revach part, or hefsed, even though object, say, relative to its counterpart, you know, that it is less or that it is more, depending on what you need. So in that circumstance, this question is going to come up. Is it about the aggregate? Is it about the dominant feature? By the way, these are two different things also. Looking, they often, most cases, they're the same. In other words, whether you're looking at the aggregate benefit or the aggregate loss, or you're looking at whether the loss column and the benefit column are equal or not. Typically, you know, whichever column is bigger is going to produce the aggregate. But conceptually, speaking about the aggregate, then speaking about the predominant, majority or primary factor. So that's just important to know too in terms of formulations. There may even be, you know, nafkaminas. So this question of how we assess Hana matters. So it within that, just as I was saying a second ago, that when it comes to Mekalkal and Metakein, it could be that there are different areas of Malacha require different things, especially given Malachas Makshava Sastra Torah, but even, you know, even separate from that. So too, it's very possible that there are different models of Isurei Hana, as we already know. So Layidbak, we already made notice of this. We'll see this tangibly in the Taz in Yaredeya, but we already made note of the fact that there are several discrepancies between Tosis's presentation in Shabbos on Kuvav and here in Chulin. Right? One of them, of course, being three of them, basically, that we noted. One, of course, is whether you're asking the question from the Mishnah in Shabbos or from the Sugya in Pesachim. The second being whether you need to invoke Melechas Machshavas Hasra Torah for the answer. And the third being that Artosis doesn't make a fuss. Avodah Zarah could be a stand-in for any Yisrana, but Tosis in Shabbos does accentuate, for some reason, the Pasuk of Layidbak Ma'umma Menacherem with regard to Avodah Zarah. What we will see soon, hopefully today, is as we move forward, is that the Taz in Yaredeya, Resh Chaf Aleph, made that diuk in Tosis. Thought that Tosin Shabbos was saying what it says only by the Surah Hana of Avodah Zarah. Again, we talked earlier in the year, about Safek Isra Hana of Avodah Zarah, with the Ritva of Avodah Zarah. I mentioned it just yesterday as well, the fact that Layidbak Me'uma Menacherem is a special Isra Hana for Avodah Zarah, right? Even the language that, Layidbak Me'uma, the Yidbak language and the Me'uma, is very fascinating. Compare that to some other Isurei Hana. Even within other Isurei Hana, the way that they're derived, you have the discussion, we'll have this for next year, I guess, even though it's a second parak topic, not a first parak, but Chizkia and Rabbabo, whether every time the Torah says Lo Ye'achel or Lo Yochal, does that include Isurei Hana or not? That's the argument between Chizkia and Rabbabo. So there are Isurei Hanas that derive simply from the language of Achila. But there are other Isurei Hanas that come from other Makoros, right? Basel Bechalov, it's one of these three Isurim of Bishol, that surely might be significant. For example, there's a discussion in Sugim Psachim and elsewhere, about Hana Shalom Kederach. And the fact that, Kilaya Karen, Basa Bechalov, even Hana Shalom Kederach, because they don't use the language of Achila. So is that difference, when Hana Shalom Kederach is Chayev, and as opposed to when you need Hana Kederach, is that limited only to that one factor? Right? Or does it reflect, a different basis, a different Mechayev, for that particular Isurei Hana? Again, Isurei Hana mitzad hachefza, Isurei Hana mitzad hagavra. You can imagine the things that we'll talk about it next year. What about chametz? Or does it matter whether you have something which is based on a verb, like layochal, or kind of more of a focus again on the result, like lo yeyachel, like a nifal? Does that matter? So all I'm trying to say is that it's not only Avodah Zarah that might be different. Even within the broader world of Isurei Hana, Shalom Kederach may reflect, the verb versus the nifal may reflect, and there may be other factors in addition to that. And consequently, when we ask this question, what happens when you have, some revach and some hana, I'm sorry, some revach and some hefsid, right, or predominant one over the other, or whether it depends on the aggregate, or the predominant, or the anything, it's very conceivable that the answer is not identical for all Isurei Hana. Again, default, we start off, let me make it clear, also in Kilkel V'Tikva. It's not like we don't know anything about anything and we're always so skeptical, right? We start off assuming that like-minded concepts, especially that share halachic terminology, the default assumption is that they are the same. And that's a fair starting point. It's not chaos. The burden of proof is that encounter conflicting evidence, you know, in the sugyas, within Rishonim, you know, and the more that, you know, there's a pattern to those distinctions, that's when it becomes very compelling, right, to assume that these issues, which are, as I say, organic or endemic, you know, to the nature of what we're talking about to begin with, you know, that could be this, could be that, could be the next thing. I mean, these are all legitimate things to think about. Where do you draw the line? You know, how do you define it, etc.? That sort of becomes more compelling to say, well, there are different types of Yisurana, there are different types of Kilkul v'Tikkun, you know, etc. You don't want infinite amount of them either. That becomes too unruly. But at least to understand, you know, what this is all about. And so far, it's just general, but at least we are staking out some of the questions. But so far, I've just been focusing in a kind of a broader methodological way, you know, about how to set up this kind of a topic and what to be looking for. So now let's get back to the specifics. Without specifics, all the generality, I wouldn't say it's worthless, still important to think about it. It's important a priori to kind of, you know, wonder about the interrelationships. But obviously, we need to wed, you know, this abstract part to concrete things. And that's what we've been doing, hopefully, so far. So we discussed Tosfos in Shabbos as opposed to Tosfos here. Part of what we've been discussing is, again, what we've said so far is that Tosfos here in Chulin, you know, gives a different impression than Tosfos in Shabbos. And I was suggesting that there's a pattern to that. What is the default? What is the exception? You know, what is the rule? Is Kilkul and Tikkun about the nature of the action, broadly speaking, as opposed to the aggregate effect of the Totsa'a, economically at least? And that's a Davar Pashut even without Malach Smach Shabbos Asra Torah? Question number one. Number two, does that matter? Does it matter whether it's, you know, maybe not what is most economically efficient for this animal, but at least one of three, you know, options. Moreover, one which is halachically defined as a matir, you know, that comes from the world of kachim, you know, that has a precise definition, meaning in its context, it's certainly, in context of eating basar, certainly we don't look at the ma'isa of shechita as a kilk, and that's a davar pashut. So, is it because of those things? And what about a situation where you can't eat it, Isura de Ravi Aleh, because it's Avodah Zarah and it's Chutz and it's, et cetera? Does that matter? So these are the issues that we've spoken about so far. And do you need Malachas Makshavas Asra Torah to help you, if not with the core case of Shabbos, the one in the Mishnah, at least maybe the Psachim case where you don't get any benefit, even though you're motzi midei ever minachai, and the tzura of the shechita, notwithstanding the iser de ravi aleh, right, is the same. Okay? By the same token, we could look at the two tosasin and the two models in the tosasin, you know, is also relating to the iser ana question. And that, let's say, I'm referring now to the taz that I will get back to. The taz is medayik in Tosfos in Shabbos. He thinks that Tosfos says what it says about aggregate Isuri Anah only with regard to Lo Yidbak Be'umah Min Acherim, meaning only with regard to Avodah Zarah. And again, the Shach, well, I'll read it inside soon, but the Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef, which is his, you know, that's his Mishmeres Habayis, I guess you could say, to the Taz. So he strongly disagrees. He says that's not the Pshat Tosin Shabbos. You know, if anything, maybe it goes the other way. I mean, but again, when I was talking about Isuri Anah a couple of minutes ago, I mentioned Avodah Zarah, I mentioned things that are Shaloka Derech, I mentioned what the Makor and the Psukim is, even when it's Achila or verb, whether it's, you know, Poel, whether it's a, you know, verb or a Nifal. One thing I didn't mention, which I should mention, which we'll get back to, of course, is Mudur Hana, a human created through Nadarim, in other words, Isra Hana. Does that have the same dinim as Isurei Hana? That's an interesting question. The Meiri, for example, in I believe in the Darim, discusses whether or not the Shiurim are the same for Mudur Hana and Isurei Hana. You know, let's say it's a Pruta, or does that Shiur apply to Mudur Hana as well? But we'll see. The part of the discussion in the Taz, part of the discussion in Yoredeya, I mean, they are talking in Yoredeya about Mudur Hana, and the question whether Mudur Hana and Isurei Hana are the same, whether Mudur Hana, Isurei Hana, and Avodah Zarah are the same, these are the issues that they're that come up. These concretize some of the distinctions that we were musing, let's say, about previously. Okay, again, which came first, the musing or the distinctions? You know, the answer is each one is legitimate, and they sometimes come, you know, together. Okay, so in terms of tikkun v'kilkul for Shabbos and for shechita, for the status of shechita and so on, let's talk a little bit more about the achshave part of it. I think that's what we were. So while our Shabbos ignores achshave, I'm sorry, achshave, melech machshavas asra Torah. I do want to suggest that melech machshavas asra Torah might also be a kind of an achshave, but that's I'm ahead of myself for the moment. So our Tosis does project it, as does the Balamor, the Ramban here, and the Ran. Tosin Shabbos omits it, and the Ravid, quoted by the Ramban, hard to know whether it's a quote or whether it's just a, you know, a synopsis, which would make the language question, you know, more questionable. But either way, the Ravid, as quoted in the Ramban, does not mention specifically Melech Machshavas Asra Torah. But let's take a few minutes about Melech Machshavas Asra Torah, because that's what we were in the middle of, to further our discussion. So if we do quote Melech Machshavas Asra Torah, the question is, what does it contribute? What does it contribute? So this week is where we got into the Sugya in Bava Kama, Samach Ben Aleph. And I was suggesting that, you know, Melech Machshavas Asra Torah might be just a general comment, nothing to do with exactly, although maybe not unrelated either, to the more obvious kula, you know, klalim applications, meaning Melech Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, Mekalkel, Kelachayad, some people think the requirement of Shiurim and Shabbos may be connected to Melechas Machshavas Asra Torah, but certainly Misasek Mekalkel, mostly Melech Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, etc., these. But you might say that Melech Machshavas Asra Torah has a totally different meaning in addition, again, maybe generally connected, maybe not, and that is to focus on the Melacha, as opposed to only the Totzah. In which case, we don't mean very much by it. And that's certainly one of the things, you know, that it could, that we could have in mind, or the nature of the Melacha, you know, that we're talking about, you know, in terms of, as opposed, in terms of the Gemara in Bava Kama, Samach Ben Aleph as well. Or the Melech Machshavas, you know, affects particular tsuros malacha, what we wanted to say about the rush and malacha zore, where again, either it's just a misnomer, or there's like kind of an implicit point, and that is you can have a hagdara of a malacha, even one which might not qualify in other areas of halacha, like something that harnesses some other power, so it's a combination of forces. Maybe that wouldn't work in where you need asiya elsewhere, but it'll work even though you need asiya osa malacha right in Shabbos. Okay, but these are again the broader ideas of Melech Machshavas Asra Torah. The question is, we go further and say that Melech Machshavas Asra Torah also defines more specifically Kilkul V'Tikkun. And if you do say that, do you mean that in the narrowest way? I haven't found anybody who said this, but I think it's very attractive. If you only have to deal with our Tosis and a little bit with Tosas in Sanhedrin, which talk about Tikkun Kilkul and the impact of Melachs Machshavas Osra Torah, in that, as I said yesterday, Melachs Machshavas Osra Torah could be viewed in this context as an internal issue, meaning the whole reason that Mekalkel is Patur is because of Melachs Machshavas Osra Torah, and therefore, not only on the Kula side, but also on the Chumra side, right, Melachs Machshavas Osra Torah will hold sway when it comes to itself, the Kula and the Chumra. But that doesn't mean that Melachs Machshavas Osra Torah would be a separate or a, you know, a contributing factor in issues outside of Melacha, in other words, the Chumra, outside of Melachas Machshavas Osra Torah contexts. Okay, is that clear? Hopefully? Okay, good. Another level would be to say this has nothing to do, it's totally coincidental that Mekalkel is a Melachas Machshavas issue, and that what we have here is the impact of Melachas Machshavas, even the Chumra, and maybe that's the basis of the Gemara in Bava Kamma itself. But there too, the question is it that the Gemara in Bava Kamma, even according to this perspective, redefines actions based on Melachas Machshavas, which might be the idea in Rashi? Or is it that it expands, you know, because of the Machshava element, right? It allows, it doesn't expand definitions. It basically makes allowance for malacha applying where the requirement of asiya remains incomplete. And that's some sort of a combination where makshava, the subjective component, just like the absence of a subjective component or a sufficient subjective component, misasek, mekalkel, Blockchain Tzricha Legufa, Kilachar Yad, can torpedo a Maisa, so too the presence of a positive, committed Melachas Machshavas Osra Torah can compensate, not redefine, but compensate for a challenged or an incomplete Maisa. Okay? So this, I think, I was suggesting that, you know, it's possible for Rashi and Bava Kamma that, you know, Grumma becomes Asiya when you have Melachas Machshavas, whereas for Tosos, you know, it remains Grumma, but it works when you have Melachas Machshavas. And those are two different formulations. Now, those two formulations also touch on another question, and that is whether or not Chisronos of Melachas Machshavas, you know, are ever viewed, or whether the impact of Melachas Machshavas touches on the Malacha or only on Chiyuv and Ptur. The idea that Melachas Machshavas, you know, could redefine actions is consistent with the view, not, again, not Haba Hatalia, that Melachas Machshavas can undermine actions. Whereas if you think Melachas Machshavas simply allows Machshava to compensate for an incomplete Maisa, then, again, this is certainly not Mokrach, but, you know, you might be inclined to look at the parallel opposite in a similar way, meaning that when Melachas Machshavas is a Kula, when it undermines Malacha, it's not necessarily because there's no Malacha, but because it's insufficient to have Malacha, you also have to have the subjective component, in which case it might be a ptur rather than a hafkas amaisa. Okay? And that's what we talked about yesterday with regard to Kamle Midraba Mine, which is Rabbi Kivager's idea, etc. So the language of Tosas here, again, these Lashonos are, I think, suggestive, but again, not machrok, but it's good to know them at least and to think about them. The language of Tosas here is that Melachas Machshavas Osra Torah, you know, can be used lechumra, right, to create tikkun. It says that tikkun ktsas is sufficient. Whereas the language of the Balamor, I was trying to be medayik yesterday, is that if you have Malach's Machshavas, right, then that will give you a Malacha. Okay, not a Tikkun, but a Malacha. So, and the Ramban, I should say, also, anybody have the language of the Ramban? Similar to the Balamor, not exactly like the Balamor, but it sounds a little bit like it, the language of the Ramban al-Attar. Anybody have it? Yitzhak, you have it? Yitzhak Weiss?
Yeah, I'm going to just pull it up.
Okay, great. And we'll talk about the Ravid in a couple of minutes, but...
should be up in just a second. From the beginning?
The answer part. The formulation.
So lo kasha de gabi shabbos melechas machshavas asra Torah velo patra el mekalkel gamor she'ein bo machshava.
So I think number one, like the Balamor, these are important formulations. He says only mekalkel gamor, right, is a problem. More time.
Right. She'ein bo machshava hamikivan shechashav aleh l'shom tikun v'shachta.
So like the Balamor, he also says, this formulation is hard to know whether you believe, but that kilkel gomor is the only thing that's pator. But unlike the Balamor, it doesn't sound like melechas machsheves turns it into a malacha. It sounds like... because there's some tikkun, it's considered a sufficient machshava. Is that correct? Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yitzhak?
Yes.
Okay. So that's just a little bit of a difference. I think it's an important little difference. By the way, this whole question of the impact of kilkul in undermining malacha or just patur, etc., in addition to Rabbi Kimager, and we're talking about the opposite side of it now, etc. Maybe, not sure. Maybe related to two other issues, just to think about. One is the general issue of the Sugyan Kuvavo Med Aleph, which Eitan, I think, made reference to yesterday. Namely, there the Gemara discusses whether the Ptur Mekalkel applies to all Malachos, or there's an exception of Chovel Umavir. So the idea that Chovel Umavir would be different, you know, is very intriguing, and there's a debate within that, you know, what that might mean. And we've talked about it before, I'm just going to mention it very quickly. The simple pshat of the Gemara in Krisus is that... if Chovel Umavir are Chayav B'Mekalkel, then Mis'asek is also Chayav B'Mekalkel. It just means, in other words, that the dinim of Melechas Machsheves are different in Chovel Umavir. Because the Gemara Krisus does equate Mis'asek and Mekalkel. Ad kedei kach, that the Rishonim, already the Balei Tosis, asked the question in Klal Gadol, actually in Klal Gadol, they asked the and in Kira, you know, Tosis also relates to this question, big mass of Tosis and Kira, that why don't we find that Melacha Shein Etzricha Legufa also doesn't apply to Chovel Umavir? That too is based on the principle of Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. So the question assumes, it's a fair assumption based on the Gemara in Krisus, that the dinam of Melechas Machsheves somehow don't apply fully to Chovel Umavir. And some answers to these questions, you know, assume that the assumption is correct. So, for example, the Nesivos and Beis Yaakov in Tosfos and Ksuvos, which also discusses this issue, and Avavam and Aleph, suggests that Malach Shenet Tzricha Legufa really isn't Midin Malachas Machsheves. If you look carefully in the Gemara and Chagiga and Daf Yud, you could read the Gemara as saying Malachas Machsheves is limited only to Mekalkel. Different Girsolos than that Gemara. And Bali Tosis and Daf Tzadi Dalid in Shabbos and Lamed Aleph in Shabbos, etc., speak about Malach Shen Tzricha Legufa, not so much in terms of Malachas Machsheves, although they don't reject that, but in terms of the nature of the Tzuras HaMalacha itself. I mean, a Malacha defined by the Mishkan, right? This is the way it was done in the Mishkan, and therefore this is the Malacha that's Asur. You know, in the Mishkan, the principle was that only a positive Hotza'ah, was considered a Hotza'ah. Not when you want to get rid of something, Maisa Siluk. Or only a Chofer Bor, where you're interested in the Bor, but not where you're interested in the Offer. So there are those who give an answer. Or others say, the problem is if you have Malach Shenet Tzricha Legufa and a Sa'ah, if you have two, you have to have Malach Machsheva somewhere, but you could have less. But there's another perspective, and that is to kind of revise our view about the Gemara in Krisus, or to assume that maybe it isn't Aliba the Halacha, and to think that the din, that Chovel Lamavir is unique, is limited to Mekalkel, and that it really doesn't apply to Metzasik. And we don't accept that Gemara's conclusion in Krisus. The fact that Malach Shenet Tzricha Legufa seems to be disconnected from Chovel Lamavir issue, proves that the Gemara in Krisus is an outlier. It's not really Lahalach. That's a view in Shita Mekubetza, I believe the Ra'ah in Ksuvas. Then, of course, the attractive idea would be that when we say Chovel Lamavir are different, it's because what we mean is that the Tzura of Chovel Lamavir is that they are already Meleches Kilkol. So you can't say that a Meleches Kilkol is Patur B'derech Kilkol. I mean, you could. The proof is that it's a Machlokas and that's how we paskin. But the point is it's reasonable to think that the din that Kilkol undermines a Malacha doesn't apply to a Malacha which Betsura is a Meleches Kilkol.
Why would that be different from all the other Meleches Kilkol?
We have
other Meleches Kilkol also.
Like Mochek.
Like Mochek, Horeya.
Or Soser. Yeah. Because I think Mochek and Soser, it's not intrinsically the actions that you do, it's the effect that you have, number one. As opposed to Chovel and Mavir, which are just destructive as intrinsic actions. I think that's number one. And number two, and we'll get to this actually for another reason in just a minute, and that is that there are quite a few Rishonim probably who think that Soser and Mochek are not Malachos Betoras Soser and Mochek. They're Malachos Betoras, let's say, Hechsher Ksiva and Hechsher Binyan. So they look like Kilkol, right? But in fact, they are, they're part of it, they're part of Tikkun. That's the Almanats there isn't a way of being Metakein as much as it is, or in addition, it's also a way of defining what the Malacha is. That's a great question, but those are two reasonable answers to that question. Anyways, part of the question here, again, it's not Mukhrach, but this idea that, Chovel Lamavir might be different works much better if you think that Kilkol isn't just a Patur. Again, that doesn't prove it. But, it has to do with the Malacha itself. And then you say, but there are certain Malachos that by their very definition, not just when they're Chayiv or the fact that they're Chayiv, but the Tzura Samalacha is Kilkol. That's what makes a difference. Another example or another issue which may be connected to this, which we saw this year, maybe, again, I'm not pushing it too hard. I don't think it's Mukhrach at all, but I think it's something to think about, is the interesting exchange that we had on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph between the Ramban and the Chidushei Haran. Right there, we're talking about mostly the problem of Mumar L'chala Torah Kula, you know, and the eye of the storm, or the, you know, the question of why his Shechita, you know, is, or the first Shechita at least, is Kshera. Right, why don't you say Mumar L'chala Torah Kula, so Shechita so Nevela. So the way that the Ramban and the Ran and others quote the Bali Tosis as opposed to our printed Tosis is that the action itself that triggers your status, right, doesn't yet generate, or you don't feel the effects of that in the action itself. And therefore, this shechita, which makes him a mumar l'chala Torah kula, right, is not going to be nevela. Okay, we explain that in various ways. But the Ramban had this line where he talked about, you know, the, like, kind of, you know, charting the process. And he wonders whether maybe by Avodah Zarah, Ein Avodah Zarah Ela Bigmar Zvicha. And maybe that's why. But he says, by Shabbos, which is Chovel, you know, Yesh L'Chovel, he could call it, I guess, Mitchila V'Yad Sof. Not just Ein Ela B'Sof. So maybe that's the difference between Avodah Zarah and Shabbos. And then the Ran says, well, I don't think that's such a good comment, because if you're looking at Chovel before the Gemar, it's Mekalkel, right? If you were to stop right then and there, it would be Mekalkel. And therefore, just like Avodah Zarah Ein Ela B'Sof, in a way, Chovel's also Ein Ela B'Sof, because otherwise it's Kilkel. So I thought that was an interesting... That's an interesting ha'ara. What are the Ran and the Ramban arguing about? At the time, I was suggesting that, you know, do we really look at Chovel, you know, Lifnei HaSof, when the goal is Sof? Do we look at that as Mekalkel, 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 you know, Mekalkel, and then he reaches the end, oh, Metakim? It's one thing to say, if you happen to stop, that's Mekalkel. That generates the Mekalkel. It's not Mekalkel until it's Metakim. I think that's one way to look at it. Possibly a second point, or maybe underpinning this first point, maybe this question. The more you think that Mekalkel is something that touches on the Shem Malacha, either generally the Shem Malacha of Maisa Shabbos or Malacha Shabbos, or the specific Shem Malacha of that particular Malacha, the more, you know, you can at least think, you know, that, I'm not sure, we can say this, still what I said before, that, you know, there's an absence of the Maisa, not just a potential Patur. The more you think of it in terms of Patur, I think even the stronger, I would say that the Ran is based on two assumptions. Number one, that you can consider this Mekalkel until it's Metakein, and number two, that as Mekalkel, it isn't just a Maisa Patur, you know, but it is also a hafkas malacha. Because I think that is what should be koveya, legabe, this particular day. So I think there are a number of issues connected with this question and with this problem. So this idea that melechas machsheves impacts even the chumra, whether that's really what's going on or not, you have the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Samach Amud Aleph, and the various perspectives to that. You have the sugya of the, you have the question of shechita, which again might be an internal mekalkel metakein din, but also might be a different din, and you have the different formulations. And that's the whole Tosis here, Tosis there, Balamor, Ramban, Ran, etc. And you have a couple of other examples of this as well that I want to mention at least very quickly. So one great example is the Tosis in Sanhedrin, and Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. So what is that exactly? And here it depends on whether you read it like the Marsha or like the Marshal, I think. But it's a very interesting parallel. Kyle, did you get a chance to see it?
I did not find it inside.
You couldn't find it?
I was only looking recently, though. I didn't get to it.
Okay. Yeah, it's there, but yeah. Okay. How about Ellie? Ellie Hyman?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we got there? Is that, what's the sugya? What's it about?
So the Gemara talks about a story where Reish Lakish is walking and he sees somebody doing Zomer on a Kerem during Shemitah. And the question is, because then the Gemara says that if he was doing it where he needed the wood to create something for his Beit Habad, then it would have been Mutter. And the question that Tosfot asks is, why is that Mutter if we see on Shabbos Ayin Gimel that that should be problematic because of Noteah and Kotzer?
Exactly. So, well, that's a quick and a very accurate summary. Thank you for that. This is, by the way, the Gemara that I was originally going to speak about. I just didn't get a chance to get back to it so much. On the Yom HaAtzmaut. This is it's Od Chazon Lamoed, because it's a fascinating Gemara. This is the Sugya and Chavav in Sanhedrin, which has a lot to do with the whole question of, you know, Yesh Kinyan Akum, you know, Lahafkia, Mikedusha Sa'aretz, etc. This is a critical Gemara for that, and this is important tosis. So exactly as Eli said, the Gemara is talking about this fascinating story where Reish Lakish wanted to tag along, you know, to see how Ibur Hashana was done. And along the way, he kept noticing people seemingly violating Shemitah. He kept giving them tokhacha. The Chachamim with him kept making excuses. He got angrier and angrier because he, I guess, was, you know, very concerned for Chil Shemitah. They felt that he was, you know, a little soft on Hevedonis Chavercha Lekaf Schus. So it became like a bit of a prickly exchange. It's a very fascinating Gemara. Anyways, at one point when he said to this guy, Cohen, what exactly did he say? He said to him, Cohen the Zomer, right? Right, Ellie? You know what he said? First one was Cohen the Choresh. Yeah, Cohen the Zomer. And then the guy said, Yachalom Malach, La'akel, Beis Habad, Anitzarech. The guy might answer you and say, you know, that I need it for the wood. I'm cutting down wood, not to generate growth in the in the karka. Right? That's the story. So Tosis asked this question, exactly as Ali said. And that is, yeah, but we learned in Shabbos on Ayin Gimel, Amud Beis, that Hazomer B'tzarech Le'etzim Chayv Shtayim Achas Mishum Kotzer V'Achas Mishum Zoreya. Because by cutting it down, right, of course, that's the kotzer part, but you also stimulate growth. And since you're stimulating growth, simply stimulate growth, that should be Zoreya. That's what Tosis asks. So the way our printed Tosis reads, it goes as follows. To mikomokom mabakach, mikomokom havimash biach hakerim, docham rinim beber kol agadol. Hazomer v'tzarech le'etzim chayiv shtayim mishum kotzer mishum noteya. Machanami l'chayiv mishum avodas noteya. That's the question. What's the answer, Ellie?
So Tosfot says that in this case he did it in that by Shabbat it's different because it's melechat machshevet. So therefore he's going to be chayiv even with this little bit of benefit.
Yeah. The Tosfot's scenario is that there is. It's a mixed bag here, meaning there is some positive, there's some netia, but on the whole, the damage, let's say, is great to the field, in other words, is greater than the benefit, right? The aggregate or the predominant is with the destructive. However, in Hilchos Shabbos, that's still going to be enough based on the principle of Belechus Machsheves, Osro Torah. The Ovid Ba'osa Inyan Devadai Kashale, the Lake Elachai Vamishun Neteya, Kinamin Beshabbos, the Shiny Gabi Shabbos, and Belechus Machsheves, Osro Torah, Bamisav the Machshavto, Avagabi Shvia, saying Lesser, Rakhechid the Mechsheve, the Shabche the Karka, Avalhocha Kashale, Ukai Gavna Shori. Okay, that's the answer that Bali Tosis. Yeah, there's a difference between Shabbos and Shemitah. Now, it's, of course, very curious in particular because, as we're going to have to finish them quickly for today, but hopefully we'll finish this on Tuesday, and I'll give you more marmakomos as well. But basically, you know, what's curious particularly is that Shemitah relationship to Shabbos, that's a whole topic, is a complicated one. Right? Shemitah Shabbos Aretz. V'hoysa lachem Shabbos Aretz. The psukim in Parshas Bahar. Right? There's even a Havamina in Torah's Kohanim, you know, that maybe Shmiras Shabbos is different than Shnas HaShemitah. I mean, it's, you know, the parallels are very fascinating. There's this discussion in the Rishonim in Makos on Chafalith. There the Gemara says, Chiluk Malachos B'Shabbos V'ein Chiluk Malachos B'Yom Tov. Meaning if you violate multiple Malachos B'Helem Echad or on Shabbos, you chayv multiple Karbanos. And on Yontif, regarding Malkus, you only chayv Achas. That's a whole topic in its own right. But the Rishonim there, this debate, the Rash, Mishans, and the Ritva, Ramban. What about Shemitah? Is Shemitah like Shabbos or is Shemitah like Yom Tov? Just trying to give you a little background. Why would Shemitah be more like Shabbos than Yom Tov is like Shabbos? Because it's Shabbos Haaretz, Shabbos Lashem. Right? On the other hand, let me say this, because this is an important principle. If you look at the Psukim and also the evidence, notwithstanding this tremendous overlap, and this is always part of the question, right? Mostly on Shabbos, the focus is on Maisa Hagavra, right? Shvisas Hagavra, right? Tishmor and Shabbason and Komalecha Savoda Lo Sasu, you know, etc. Komalecha Lo Sasa, sorry. But on Shemitah, it's V'hoysa Haaretz Shabbos Lashem. It's a din, the Cheftza, the Avoda, vis-a-vis the Cheftza Shal Karka. And it could be that's exactly what Tosfos is saying here, by the way. And that is that on Shabbos, you know, two things Tosfos may be saying. Number one, like you could have said what Tosfos said, I'll say it this way, without invoking Melechas Machsheves. You could have just said that when it comes to Maisa Hagavra, right, so we're more flexible. It's whatever what the guy wants to do. Maybe Tikkun Katzas is enough for that, because if the focus is on that. But when it comes to the Malacha from the perspective not of the Gavra, but the impact on the Cheftza, maybe that depends on the aggregate, on the Kilkola Cheftza, not on the intent of the individual. Tosfos doesn't do that. Tosfos quotes Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. By the way, this is an important issue for, you know, trying to figure out even the Malachos, and this is the answer to the question. One other time we'll go into the details. Even the Malachos that overlap Shabbos and Shemitah, like Noteya, you know, and Zoreya, and Kotzer, and Botzer, etc., and maybe Harisha possibly, those issues. Even then, there are some discrepancies, particularly in the Rambam, in terms of what's an Av and what's a Tolda. And even some things that are Chayiv and Potter, but especially Av and Tolda. And this is something that troubled the Mefarshim on the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Shemitah. And the answer may very well be that standing the overlap, the difference between Vishavsa Aretz, you know, and Shvisas Hagavra is very important. And that dictates, you know, whether the focus is on Zoreya or on Noteya, you know, where the land's contribution, not just like the result. But anyway, that, you know, I don't want to keep the, you know, suggestion to myself. I want to throw it out there. But that's a whole issue. Anyways, having said that, one second. Let's make sure this isn't... Okay. Having said that, let's look a little bit further. So basically, Tosfos is saying that the difference is Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. Here you encounter a debate between the Marshal and the Marsha. What bothered the Marshal was this Tosfos and Shabbos, Ein Gimel Amid Beis, basically says, or discusses a similar problem. Ellie saw it?
Yeah.
What is Tosfos say in Shabbos?
So in Shabbos, Tosfot says that by Shabbos, it's a different case where the work that he did was really a lot more of a tikkun.
Yeah. I mean, Tosfos and Shabbos discussing the same, basically, instead of distinguishing between Shemitah and Shabbos, says that there's not sufficient tikkun in this particular case, meaning the Sanhedrin case, even for Shabbos. This isn't a typical Zomer, right? So you could say, what I would have said was, there's a machlokus between Tosfos and Sanhedrin and Tosfos and Shabbos, either about the metzius of this particular case, in which case it's an innocuous machlokus, or maybe it's a machlokus in principle. Maybe they all both agree about the case, but what Tosfos in Shabbos thinks is not susceptible to Melechus Machsheves Osra Torah, Tosfos and Sanhedrin does. I was saying before, maybe you don't need Melechus Machsheves Osra Torah. I still stand by that. The second point is, well, if you do need it, will it help? Certainly if you take the view that Melechus Machsheves Osra Torah is always a kula, it's not going to help. But even if it's not always a kula, even if Bava Kama Samach Min Aleph proves that, that doesn't mean that it'll help you when you have Tikkun Ktzas and Kilkul Rav. So I wouldn't necessarily be thrown. Al was, because he felt for some reason, understandably I guess, that it's all one Tosfos. So as a result, he suggested to totally change the girsa of Tosfos. Basically what he was saying was, when it comes to the question of Zomer, there's no difference between Shemitah and Shabbos. That seems to be his principled position. Not according to either Tosfos. Ah, so what's the Tosfos talking about, Ellie?
He changes it to say Kotzer.
Yeah, because he's also troubled. He said, well, what happened to Kotzer in this whole mix? Zomer is Chayiv Mishum Kotzer. Either way, La'ako b'beis habad, he's Oker Davar Migidulo. That's Kotzer. Why aren't we concerned about the Kotzer problem? That's not just a Shabbos problem. That's also a Shemitah problem, typically. Kotzer, Botzer, right? Zomer. These are all Malachos and Shviyas. So what does Marshall say? That's the Pshat and Tosfos. He changes the Girsa. He said every time Tosfos says Noteya or Zomer, he really means to say Kotzer. And what Tosfos mean is what? What do they mean, Ellie?
That Melechet Machshevet will depend on how much benefit there is?
No, not so much that. But Melechet Machshevet has the ability, they say like this, cutting down branches from a tree, this is the assumption of the Marshal, it's a big assumption, is not Kotzer. That's not the Dera, that's not what we talk about in Kotzer. Kotzer is like a branch, a flower, an apple, right? But cutting branches from a tree, we'll again, if we learn Shabbos one time, we'll discuss this more fully, that does not constitute Nir Ba'enai Pirish, Avagav de Koshalishi, Skalkal Yosem, Komakom Atzameach. 1 second. The Havakinoteya. So, am I getting the Marshal and the Marshal opposite?
Is it does the Maharsha say that it should
be? No, I mixed them up. Sorry. It's the Marsha. What I'm saying now is the Marsha, correct? Yeah. So wait, in the Marshal says, Nir Bene Pirish Afagav de Koshaleshi Skalb Kal Yoser, Mikomoko Ma'at Someach. I'm sorry, I just mixed up who said what. Mahava Kenotea. Avagabishvias Sorshia Kbiacha Karka, Mitakin Baze Yoser. Now again, is the difference between Shabbos and Shemitah, is the Melechem Shabbos Asra Torah factor alone? And therefore, how much or what's predominant? Or is it what I was suggesting, right? Shvisas HaKarka as opposed to Shvisas HaGavra. I think either way works. Fine. The Marsha is the one, I mixed them up. So the Marsha disagrees. What does the Marsha say? He says, Aval Kasha, mi echriach osam lechalek, the shiny gabi Shabbos to melechas machsheves, the sagi belav hachi, the hocha airi, the avad leba oso in the vade kashale. The kach any also mishum notei of a Shabbos airi, the avad leba oso in the metakin the kach, umashbiach, just like Tosin Bavak in Shabbos. Marshal shakasa bezed delin in Shabbos nami afagav the kasha ein elu, eladivre nevius, Udvarim dechukim mitzad atzmam, the enam tzrichim. But the truth is, what Tosas says, according to the Marshal's reading and the simple reading of our Tosas, is very similar to what we said about Shechita. Namely, that Malachas Machsheves, Asr Torah, will determine whether or not Tikkun Ktsas is sufficient. And that could be an internal din of Malachas Machsheves because of Kilkul and Tikkun, or it could be a broader din. But it's not that different than what we're saying about Shechita. In any case, the Marsha thinks it's wrong. And that's nothing to do with Malachas Machshav. Can't do that. Given the Ika Lakumi Bepshitas Shapir, the Ovid Lebosa in the Matukan, Kimozomer Bigafani. Gam Koshalitos, Kazesh and Nafal Besvarim, Yishanim Base Pamim Kotzer, Bemakum Notea, Gamesh Ladaktik Bidevrei, Mahutzer Charayim Iperakasfina. So what he ends up saying is that Katsira B'Shvias is also Asur. The question of Tosas is, why isn't this Katsira? But, and Kol Katsira L'Eitzim typically is Eina Min HaMufkar, so it would be Asur. Al-Korcha Chanira L'Kaim Kol HaNuschos HaYishanos Shem Tosas L'Faneinu B'Teirutzam D'Leike L'Chaiva Mishum Kotzer U'L'El B'Kush Yassam V'Adei Nafal Tos B'Tosas Kotzer B'Mokrim Noteya V'Kein Tzar Achlamar Mishum Avodas Noteya. And the pshat is shera hatoa lamata b'terutzam v'leika l'chayva mishum kotzer chashav la'agia gam kein la'el mishum avodas kotzer. But the pshat is that typically you're not chayav when you cut a tree down. That isn't objectively considered to be kotzer. Devade lo mikri be'etzim kotzer and shayni gabi shabbos afagav de lo mikri be'etzim kotzer Chayiv mishum kotzer de malachas machsheves asra Torah bois avda machshavto. So basically, what emerges according to the Marsha's reading of Tosas is a different, albeit in my opinion, maybe a bigger chiddush of the chumra scope of malachas machsheves asra Torah. Instead of limiting it to the internal question of Kilkul and Tikkun, or to the quantitative question of whether or not we focus on, you know, Ein Kan Kilkul Gomor, or Miktas, or Koldehu Tikkun Hava Tikkun, whether in the Ramban or the Balamor or Tosis's version of it. Basically, the Marsha is uncomfortable with all of that in Tosis and Sanhedrin. But as an alternative, he's taking something which, as a Maisa, forget about the Tikkun and the Kilkul part of it, as a Tzura Samaisa doesn't qualify in Kol Torah Kula as Kotzer, and he's saying, but when there's Malachas Machsheves, then in Hilchos Shabbos, this is Kotzer. Meaning, Malachas Machsheves can define a Maisa or Tzuras Malacha. It's a different kind of chiddush. He obviously thinks a less, I think a bigger chiddush. So that's the second example. The third and fourth, I've got to go now because I have, unfortunately, I just have other things that are happening that I have to address. But I want to finish with this on Tuesday, Mirtz Hashem. Maybe we'll take a little longer if we need to finish up. But I want to address still the Bone case, meaning the Kosev case of the Ran, and the Kiryat Sefer. And then I want to discuss the other Marmakomos, meaning the question of Isurei Hana in Mudrana, and the question of Isurei Hana in Shabbos, and then the question of, if indeed, I want to speak about the Ramban and the Ravid still, the Ravid mostly, but especially the Ramban's response to it, the Malachas Machsheves, it's also part, and then also the question of, if it is, on the Isurei Hana level, if Sakin Shel Avodah Zarah is used for Hana, what impact does that have on the Achila? Is it Asur Lachol? Can it be Yolech Hana Liyam HaMelech? Etc. Okay, so try to finish off all these Marmakomos, Mirtz Hashem, on Tuesday, and then there'll be Makoros for the next topic. Okay. I've got to run. I will take questions Tuesday. Or maybe later today if people could call, but I just have to take care of something else.